For those that don't know me, I'm Jody Wells. I'm the lay leader for Woodlawn. And I wanted to start off this morning with a joke, but apparently a lot of people have heard this joke. And I'm always the last to hear them, so it's new to me, but I'm going to tell it anyway, because I think it's pretty funny. So there was a couple from Minnesota, and they were experiencing a very cold and dreary winter. So they decided, well, why don't we go to Florida and experience some good weather? And they said, why don't we stay at the same hotel that we did when we had our honeymoon 20 years earlier? And so they made the arrangements. And the only hiccup was, is they couldn't get the flight for the same day. So they agreed that the husband was going to travel down to Florida on Thursday, and then the wife the next day on Friday. So the husband safely arrives, and he goes into the hotel, checks in, and decides to send his wife an email letting her know that he had arrived safely. Well, he had inadvertently made a small mistake. He left out a letter in her email address. So the email went to someone else. Now, the recipient of the email was a woman in Houston, Texas, who had earlier that morning buried her husband. Her husband was a minister. Then that evening, she said, well, I'll just check my email. I'm expecting friends and family who were not able to attend the funeral to send me some condolences and encouragement. Well, needless to say, when she opened up the first email, she fainted. And her son ran in the room quickly to discover her laying on the floor. But she was okay. But he looked at the computer screen, and this is the email that he found. My loving wife, I have arrived. I know you're supposed to hear. I know you're not supposed to hear from me, but they have computers here now. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I just checked in, and I see everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you then. I hope your journey is uneventful as mine was. P.S., it sure is hot down here. I thought that was funny, so I... Yeah, I'm always one of the last ones to hear the stuff. But I'm thankful Pastor John this morning gave me another opportunity to speak. And like we talked about earlier, he and some of the youth from this church have gone on a retreat, and they're coming back today. And that's very exciting. You know, that's to me, when I look back when I was a kid, going to those, I mean, those things helped shape me into the person I am today. I love the Andy Griffith Show. That's one of my favorite shows. My father, he makes fun of me because I kind of watch the old shows, but he watches old westerns. I mean, I like the westerns too, but there was one particular scene in the Andy Griffith Show that I love. And the scene is like everyone's in church, and they have a guest speaker. And the guest speaker is giving his sermon, and it's about slowing down, taking it easy. Well, it's putting Gomer and Barney to sleep. And they end up snoring as well. But after the service, everyone's going out into the yard, shaking hands with the guest preacher. And Andy and Barney, they walked up to the preacher. And Andy says, "Great sermon." And Barney chimes in and says, "You know, you just can't preach enough about sin." And Andy quickly elbows Barney in the side because sin was not a part of the sermon. Barney had no idea because Barney was asleep. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm speaking on this morning, just in case you're sleepy. I'm going to talk about sin, and I'm going to talk about redemption, but mostly I'm going to talk about Jesus. And I hope that every time I'm up here speaking, it always points to Jesus. And I know that I'm speaking to the choir this morning, but I was thinking about this. And what I'm speaking about this morning is the gospel. And everybody needs to be reminded about the gospel, no matter what. And one of my scriptures, and I have a lot this morning, but they're usually just small, short. My first one comes from Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What is sin? 1 John 3 says, "Everyone who practices sin and also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Sin is transgression against God. And as my Bible study book puts it, it separates us from God, one another, and it leads to death. You inherited sin nature all the way to back to Adam. Adam's sin had consequences for the entire human race. We are not without guilt ourselves. We all commit sin, and each of us are personally accountable for it. You know, you can move to a remote place in the wilderness or across in the remotest part of the world, but you will still sin. You know, it is amazing to me that some Christians believe that you can get into heaven just by being a good person. The problem is, no one's good. We are not the measuring stick. Jesus is. Isaiah 64 says that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." What do we know about sin? Well, it grows, it intensifies, and it becomes destructive quickly. We are in bondage to sin. We cannot break the power of sin in our life. On our own, we are corrupt. There's an old saying that goes, "Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay." James 1:14-16, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." We're all going to die sooner or later. Which reminds me of a story that the late Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty told. He described arguing with a man who came to his house with a mutual friend. And Phil tried to share the gospel with him, emphasizing that everyone sins and everyone die. And without turning to Jesus, judgment is ahead. He bluntly told the guy, "You're going to die." The man refused to believe it or accept it. He pushed back hard, saying, No, I am not going to die. Ain't nobody telling me that junk. You're not going to put that on me. I am not going to die. That sounds crazy, right? Phil said he argued with him for about 30 minutes, trying to convince him the reality of death and the need for repentance. But the man left defiant, rejecting the message entirely. About 6 weeks later, a mutual friend came back to Phil and said, "Do you remember that guy you tried to witness to that said he wasn't going to die?" Phil said, "I do." The friend said, "Well, he just did." Phil asked, "What happened to him?" The friend said, "He was knifed to death in a bar just right up the road." This story reiterates that no one escapes death and that we need to get right with God before it's too late. There are only two destinations. The first is heaven, the dwelling place of God, where Jesus is. Paradise, a permanent home for believers after death. The second is hell, a place of eternal punishment, separation from God, and intense suffering. There are only two kinds of people, the saved and the lost. Which are you? Hear the good news, and it is the gospel. And as it's translated into Greek, it means to be nearly too good to be true. Because it offers complete salvation and forgiveness as a free gift. A free gift of grace rather than something earned. God threw us a lifeline. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Think about that. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Which means Jesus died while we were still in rebellion and sin. A love offering of salvation as a gift. And it's not something that we have earned. Acts 4:12, "And there is no salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved." 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." There are not many roads to heaven, only one. Not Buddha, Allah, or any other false god. God's divine love sent Jesus to rescue us. Some may say, "Well, what about those that came before Jesus? Or what about those who live in a remote part of the world who have even never heard Jesus?" Well, I think there's a scripture in the Bible that may help us answer that. That's Romans 1:9-20. In that whole first book of Romans, it kind of goes through that whole situation. It is a good read. But I'll read just the first one, verse 19 through 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. God is always revealing himself to you, no matter where you are. And no matter what, I trust God. He is the perfect and righteous judge. No matter where we are, God is present with us throughout our lives. Take a look at some of the great men of faith in the Bible. King David committed adultery and was a murderer. Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament and killed an Egyptian and hid the body. Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, hunted down Christians. Think about that. He hunted down Christians and approved of stoning them to death. And there are many, and I mean many, examples just like those as well. But no sin is too great that God can't forgive. God's love is greater than all of our sin. Holy Spirit is always calling us. God created us in His likeness for relationship with Him. God wanted a family. And God is calling you into relationship. You will never have peace, never have peace without Jesus. Will you open your hearts to accept the relationship with Jesus? Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe that in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Our acceptance of God's grace changes everything. How do we do that? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for your sins and rose from the dead. It involves admitting that you are a sinner and that you need forgiveness. We need to repent, which means to make a conscious decision to turn away from sin and towards God. Last, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and invite Him into your life. And that is just how simple the gospel is. It is news, almost too good to be true. Romans 8:17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." This means through faith, Christians will inherit eternal life, the kingdom of God, and all its blessings. This is a story I love that Adrian Rogers told it, and I heard it years ago, and I don't think it's true. It could be true. I don't know. I kind of don't think it's true, but years ago, there was a wealthy man with a son who shared a passion for art collecting. And their treasures included Picasso, Monet, Van Gogh, and many others. The widowed father had a son's trained eye and a sharp business mind that caused the father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors from around the world. But war broke out, and the son left to serve his country. After a few weeks, the father found out that his son had died. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas with sadness. On Christmas morning, there was a knock at the door, and it awakened the depressed old man. He was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand, and he introduced himself and told him that he was a friend of his son. The soldier told of how the man's son had told everyone about he and his father's love of fine art. "I'm an artist," the soldier said, "and I want to give you this." The old man unwrapped the package, and it revealed a portrait of his son. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture over his fireplace. True to his word, the painting went above the fireplace, pushing aside millions of dollars worth of paintings. During the days and weeks followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of all the lives that he had touched. He would soon learn that his son rescued dozens of wounded soldiers before a bullet stilled his caring heart. Fatherly pride and satisfaction began to ease the grief. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. The following spring, the old man became ill and he passed away. The art world was in anticipation. Unmindful of the story of the man's only son, but in his honor, these paintings would be sold at auction. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. It was a painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding at $100? He asked. Minutes passed. No one spoke. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's get on to the good stuff." More voices echoed in agreement. "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke. "Will you take $10 for the painting?" "That's all I have. I knew the boy, so I would like to have it." "I have $10. Will anyone go higher?" After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." The gavel fell, and cheers filled the room. People exclaimed, "Now we can get on with it, and now we can bid on the good stuff." The auctioneer looked at the audience and announced, "The auction is over." Stunned in disbelief, quieted the room. Someone spoke up and asked, "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all these paintings? There are millions of dollars worth of art here. We demand to know what is going on here." The auctioneer replied, "It is very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all." Just as those art collectors discovered on that Christmas day, the message is still the same. The love of the Father a father whose greatest joy came from his son, Jesus, who went away and gave his life, rescuing others. And because of that father's love, whoever takes the son gets it all. Let's pray.